Thank you, Lord, because this evening we are gathered about your spirit and our lives will not be the same way as when we came, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I am going to begin to study today from the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3. Now, what I want to share is something that came to my mind some time ago, and when I was meditating about what I would say concerning the power of God in this meeting, and the thing that came to my mind is that I want to talk about the switch of the power of God. What did I say? The switch of the power of God. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, there is a switch. That the power of God is bigger than you. Tell your neighbor. But you can turn it on or turn it off. At least as far as your life is concerned, that's a matter of fact. All right? The Lord is good. Before we read this scripture, I want to just I want to explain a few principles about this life to us so that all of us will get the point. Now, the Bible says that the heavens are the heavens of the Lord and the earth, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Now, that tells us something very clearly. I always like people to understand the principle that the most important person on the earth are the people that live on the earth. Now, let me explain how to say. That is, if something occurs in a particular place, the most important determinant of the occurrence of that thing is the people that live there. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That is, this is what God said. If you go and read the book of Haggai, the people refused to go and build the temple of God. So he said, because of you, the earth, the sky withheld its rain, and the land has withheld its produce. And what was the reason? He said it was because of the people. Are you getting the point? And now if you go and read again in Leviticus around chapter 18, when he was taking them into the promised land, he was warning the people, don't behave the way the people in that promised land were behaving. He said, because of their character, because of their moral standards, because of their modes of worship, the land became defiled and the land vomited up its inhabitants. That is, even though, now listen to this clearly. Even though God determined and desired to give the promised land to the descendants of Jacob, he couldn't take the people in the promised land out until they began to sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, did God have a purpose to give that land to the descendants of Jacob? Yes, he did. But the people living there could prolong their days of prosperity if they had continued to walk in righteousness. In fact, I just like to say this. If they had persisted in righteousness so long, God would have had to call the children of Israel and match them with the people that were there. Are you getting what I'm going to say? So what he did was to make sure that these people, because of their iniquity... No, listen. When God wanted to judge the children of Israel also, he said to Isaiah, go and prophesy. The first assignment he gave Isaiah, he said, say to these people, here don't understand. Why did he say it like that? He said, because... He said, go and render their ears dull, alright, and their eyes dim, so that, he said, if you prophesy the proper things and they understand, they will repent, and I will be forced to forgive them, and I don't want to forgive them, so make sure they don't understand what they are saying. Do you follow what I'm going to say here? That is, even though God had a purpose, he said, this land I want to give to the children of Israel, yet he couldn't give the land to the children of Israel until the current occupants were sinning. And because of their sin, he said, I am not bringing you in because of your righteousness. He told Moses was telling the children of Israel that despite the fact that God proposed to give that land to the nation of Israel, he couldn't just do it when the time came. He waited until the people had sinned enough. And when their sin was full, he used the sin as the excuse to push them out. And he warned the other people, say, I'm bringing you in not because of your righteousness, but because I am taking them out, the place is going to become vacant. Therefore, I'm going to fill you, use you to fill the vacancy. He said, therefore, I'm warning you ahead of time. If you do what they did, the same way I move you out also, I'll look for somebody else and fill that place. Now, you're getting the point I'm making. That is, even though God had a plan, even though God had a purpose, more importantly, where the people were living on that place, they could affect when the purpose of God will be done. Are you getting the point? I like to give us an example also. Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar dreamt. When Daniel saw the dream, Daniel opened mouth. I said, my Lord, may this dream be for your enemies. But anyway, it is for you. He said, I heard cut him down. He said, look, God wants you to understand that the heavens rules in the affairs of men and none of that. You know, after he interpreted the dream, he now called Nebuchadnezzar. He said, excuse me, sir. Let me tell you what to do so that this dream will not come to pass. You know, he explained the principle to Nebuchadnezzar. Let me teach you what to do so that this dream will not come to pass. Are you following me? He said, break off from doing iniquity. Show mercy to the poor. For adventure, there will be a lengthening of the days of your prosperity. That is, God had a plan. God had a purpose. But the people there, they can affect whether it will happen or it won't happen. Don't forget one thing I said some time ago about Jonah. You know why Jonah was... Why Jonah refused to go and prophesy? So many times in the past, he prophesied and it did not come to pass. And that's what Christians need to understand. January 1st, December 31st, we hear a lot of prophecies. We tie them very strongly to the date. But let me tell you something about promises and prophecies. Is God is telling you that if you walk with me, this is what I can do in your life. It's not automatic to come to pass. He said, walk before me and be perfect, then I will bless you. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm talking about what? The switch of the power of God. It's like NEPA. If you go to a Egbin power station, you'll be afraid. If I tell you that those big pylons, you know, you see in the bush, all those big cables, you know the amount of voltage inside them? 330,000 volts. The one here is 220 volts. That one is 330,000 volts. With all the power in NEPA, if you want everywhere to go dark, one switch. The switch does not kill. It has been designed not to shock anybody. One man will just go, boom! That is it. The whole of Enugu is in darkness. That's how it is with the power of God. The power of God may be great. Do you follow? But we have the ability to switch it off or to turn it on. So you hear, don't quench the spirit. Do you get the point? It is because we have the ability to quench the spirit. That is why he says, don't quench the spirit. If we did not have the ability to quench the spirit, we would not have been told not to quench it. Are you getting the point I'm making? What am I going to explain? The power of God is great, but there is a switch. Alright? There is a switch that each of us will need to turn. I'm going to explain a few principles as I go on. I just want us to understand that foundational thing. That on this earth is what you and I do that are most important in deciding whether the power of God will be released. Now listen to this. First of all, God has a purpose. He has a plan. And that's what he announces to us. What that does is to give us a guide. Okay, walk with me and be perfect. And this is what is going to come out of your life. Are we getting the point I'm making? We're going to look at Abraham a bit as we go on. But I said she opened to where? The book of Titus chapter 3. On radio, for the last few weeks, I've been talking on what I call the power of godliness. And it was while I was meditating on those series that I came to understand what I'm going to teach here and then apply it to certain aspects of our lives. Don't forget, we are talking about the switch that the power of God requires before it becomes manifested. Now, we'll be reading from around the verse. I like to read in context. Therefore, I will start from verse 1. You will see me jump here and there. But actually, where I'm going is verse 8. He said from verse 1, remind them to be subject. This was Paul writing to Titus on what to do concerning the ministry. Remind the people who were said to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, when that time came, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, everything he has said, Paul now said, this is a faithful saying. It's a true statement, he was saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly. That is, teach it to the people all the time. This is why you should teach it. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. He said, these things are good and profitable to all men. Please, I want us to notice the last two lines there again. He said, the reason why I wanted to teach everything above, teaching people not to speak evil, to be peaceable, to remember this and remember that, and walk in the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, is that the people should be careful to maintain good works. To maintain good works, he said, these things are good and profitable. That is, they know these things, and by them maintain good works, they will discover that profit will be added to them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, please, I have read the scripture, and I will explain. I told you my main emphasis in verse 8. The fact that he said, these things are good and profitable to men. Now, don't forget this. Paul said to Timothy also, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you read verse 7, or around that verse 7, he was talking about the issue of godliness. He said, godliness is profitable, having promise for the life that now is and the life that is to come. Now, there's something I want to bring out from here, talking about the switch of the power of God. You know, God is wise. Now, God is not only wise, God is all wise. Do you follow that? Let me explain what I mean. Now, I don't know whether if I say this, it won't confuse some people. How many of us ever did maths in secondary school or something? Can you remember what they call simultaneous equation? Can you remember quadratic equation? Now, let me tell you something about quadratic equation. It used to have three variables. It's 1a something a minus something c multiplied by something b, something like that. Now, that is doing mathematics in three dimensions. One day I was watching TV, and they were analyzing great physicists of all time. And they described one man, and that he and his contemporaries used to do mathematics in nine dimensions. I don't know whether... Can you remember how hard quadratic equation was? And that was small. These guys would take up to nine dimensions. One day I looked at it, I said, if human beings could do mathematics in nine dimensions, then God can do mathematics in 10,000 dimensions. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, what is mathematics? What is something like, is it algebra now? It's a limited form of prophecy. You say, what do I mean? I will explain. For those of you, please don't get the headache if you don't have no mathematics, what I want to say. If they tell you 2a is equal to 4. No, okay, if they tell you that when a is equal to 2, b is equal to 4. And when a is equal to 4, b is equal to 8. What would be the value of b when a is equal to 1,000? It's very simple. The value of b will be what? 2,000. Because from the first two equations, they are showing you that b is always double a. It may seem simple, but what they have done is to teach you how to prophesy the outcome of b. If you know what A is, it's prophecy. Yeah. Yeah. It is prophecy. So because of that, you can calculate. If I have 1,000 naira on my phone and they are charging me 40 naira a minute, You know how long this talk will be. So you can tell somebody, this talk will be 25 minutes and it will finish. If the man doesn't know any form of mathematical prophecy, he'll be watching, how do you know? He said, just watch me. Then you start talking, you'll be counting. Exactly 25 minutes, GSM, not a messy person. Bam! They cut you off. Say, did I not tell you? What is that? It's prophecy. You have prophesied. If a car is going at 100 kilometers an hour, you have learned how to calculate. And they say, how far is from here to Lagos? He say, it is 600 kilometers. Without any obstruction, you will prophesy that the car will reach Lagos in 6 hours. Is that not so? You know, with car, with all the checkpoints and potholes, you can't prophesy again. That is, the equation is having many other variables. But I'm going to tell you something about what? Prophecy and the wisdom of God. Now, let us assume now that you have now left the realm of just ordinary Y and X, A and B. You know, you now go to another level. You have to put 3 variables. Then you go to another level, you put 4 variables. Cut a long story short, when you get to 100 variables, every human being should be crazy by that time. If I forget, people like Albert Einstein, they couldn't go beyond things like 9 and 10 variables. So human beings have a limit. But God, who can do exceedingly abundantly, above, far above all that we can ask or even think about. If you and I can imagine prophesying, you can imagine that if God were to put all these variables together, prophecy is a simple thing. I don't know whether you get the point. God will look and say, this guy, the way he's going, what is one variable? How many times? How he prays? How he eats? Another variable. How he gives? How he talks? How long he sleeps? How he tells lies? How he tells the truth? All those variables put together, on top of his faith and lack of faith, God will say, in 15 years, this one will come out of his life. Because we don't understand all the variables. We're impressed. Because why are they impressed? I just did a calculation based on only 165 variables. That one is not difficult. It's a very simple man. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Now, sometimes when God gives people prophecies and promises, he will tell them to adjust a few variables so that it might come to pass. Do you follow my mathematics? You look at Abraham, he said, walk before me and be perfect. That is, this your walk is imperfect. Perfect it and you will see blessing. That is, everything is okay, but there's something about the walk. Let's make it perfect. So it might take 10 years to bring forth the promise. The promise is not lying. It's just that God said, no, according to my calculations, this, it shouldn't work like that. Because God's calculations are also based on plans and purposes. He said, if we come with an outcome here, it won't benefit the whole of mankind. That we might come with this kind of outcome. You must put this and this in place. So when I say God is all wise, I mean he's the master mathematician. He knows all mathematics. He knows every variable. He knows how to calculate. He knows how to project. He knows how to predict. He knows how to correct. Do you follow my point? So he will just give people promise. He said, don't blow the trumpet until the seventh day after you have circled 7 times on the seventh day. That is the calculation for the world to come down. If out of enthusiasm on the sixth day you begin blow, you're on your own. The world is not going to come down. Because according to his plan and purpose, the variables, the way we arrange them, on the seventh day, you will walk around the place 7 times, then you will shout, and the world will come down. Watch it. He has set all those things in motion. I'm talking about the switch. What did I say? What did I say? The switch. Now, this is how God works. I haven't explained all of these things. When he wants to bless a man, when he wants to release his power into the people's lives, he looks at everything and says, no, there's a problem with connection. Do you understand? Then he begins to give people, because this is very important, I'm talking about the wisdom of God. Now, let me say another thing. I discussed this on the radio, I think I was here yesterday, yes. Now, have you heard this expression before in the Bible? Seed time and harvest shall not cease while the earth remains. Genesis chapter 9. While the earth remains, verse 22, I think. 8, all right. He said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and all of that shall not cease. And if you go and read the Bible, I said something earlier, the people on the earth are the most important people when God wants to do something. When they did not build the temple of God, he said the heavens shut down, the rain did not fall. When they started sinning, he said the land vomited up the inhabitants. And then, when he wanted to bless Abraham, he said, because of this thing you have done, wallahi talahi, I will bless you. Are you getting my point? He began to swear to bless Abraham. Why? Because of what Abraham did. Let me ask you a question. Was it not that blessing he promised Abraham when Abraham left his father's house? Was it not that blessing he promised Abraham when he left his father's house? Then why is it that it is now? You say it is because of this thing that you did. It's part of the calculations. Are you getting my point? See, I was teaching last week Saturday. I explained to the people, listen, when you hear prophecy and you see vision and you dream dreams, don't go to sleep. Like, aha, it is settled. It is not settled, though. Amen? It has started. It is not settled. It has what? It has started. It says, seeing that we have these promises, let us begin a process of cleansing ourselves of all defilement and flesh and spirit. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me tell you two things so that you won't get confused. When I say it's not settled, I don't mean that God hasn't finished it. God has finished it. It's whether you will experience it that we are discussing. Let me tell you, if Abraham died the day after God called him, God will say, everybody gather, a great man has died, even though the man never experienced greatness. I don't know whether you get my point. In the heavens, he said forever, O Lord, thy word is what? Settled. Where? You see the issue? In heaven, is it settled? But here, is it? It gets as severe. Connection must be made. For it to be settled. That's why the prayer is like this. Thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. The way we interpret it, we think it's as it is being done in heaven. No. That was not what Jesus said. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is settled in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is pre-planned in heaven. In heaven, everything is settled. But when you see what is in the heavens, in that told Moses, when you see it, what do? You be careful to build according to the pattern that is in heaven. That's what I mean when I talk about what? The switch. That is, you will hear prophecy. It doesn't mean the man of God lied. It doesn't mean the man of God lied. Because prophecy, you must allow them work on you. Then when prophecy is working on you, it will produce work through you. The work that the prophecy working through you produces becomes the seed for the fruit, which will be the fulfillment of the prophecy. Is that mathematics too difficult? So he said, because of the joy that is set before him. When he saw the joy set before him, that gave him the strength to endure the cross. It was that cross that was the seed for that joy. You are getting the point I'm making? The cross, the joy is set. The plan of God is set. Then there was a difficulty in going to the cross. And he went to the garden and he prayed. And then visions and revelations were granted. And that became the strength. Without the cross, that future would never have manifested. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God determines to release his power. So he calls Abraham and says, you are an old man. You don't have offspring. You are not rich. Let me tell you what I can do. So what can you do? I can make you a great nation. And instantly Abraham understood. One, my descendants go plenty, and we have plenty of land. Now listen, Abraham was not counting descendants alone. First, before descendants, you know what he was counting? Land. How much property are they going to accumulate? So when God said, leave where you are, he said, I understand. This place, there are too many people. He said, they're moving. Now, get to the point I'm making here. What God said in effect is, this is what I can do. That's what I can do. If you want it, you are going to do something. You will walk before me, and in that process, you will become what? Perfect. So Abraham said, no problem. Let me tell you something. I'm not looking at an issue here. The power of God was always available. I was teaching a series, I'm concluding it this Saturday, titled The Life of Grace. People talk about how to hear God. I said, listen to me. Every word necessary for your life has been spoken. I don't know whether I get the point. Before you started learning how to hear God, God has finished speaking to you. Before you were born, God finished speaking to you. I wish you get this point. Before your father married your mother, God has spoken to you. You only hear the ones you are able to hear. God doesn't say anything afresh. Oh, I wish you get this point. He has said it. The word has gone forth. The one you hear per time is the one you have developed enough in your heart to be able to receive. Oh, I don't know what I'm saying. This is making sense. In the same manner, the heavens above this earth, they are full of the power of God. You know, recently India had an agreement with America to help them develop nuclear power. Why? India said, we have over 1 billion people. We need plenty power supply. So we want to build nuclear plants. Are you getting me? Now listen to this. One nuclear plant, I don't know how many is it. Let us, a conservative estimate. If the whole world were to build 100 million nuclear plants, it is not generating as much energy as the sun is currently generating. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying. Every day people say, keep on saying that the future for energy generation is the sun and wind. For your information, wind is not really anything. It's also the sun. What I mean is that wind is caused by the sun. It's simple. Now let me teach you small geography. When the sun beats down and the place gets hot, the air rises. Then the air from the cooler part starts moving to the place that is rising. That is all that is wind. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to bring out an issue. The sun alone has more than enough power that the earth can consume for 1 million years. Now, what am I saying? Are we tapping it? Are you getting what I'm saying? Is there energy out there? Yes. The problem is we can't tap it. The power of God, is he out there? Yes. The problem is that we don't know how to turn the switch. When God spoke to Abraham, was the power to prosper him and give him a lot of descendants out there? Yes. Why did it take God 25 years to bring Isaac? I'll tell you. Because it took God 25 years to use that prophecy to lead Abraham into sowing the right seeds. Yes, let me explain something to you. The day God finally gave the seed, the child, the final promise to Abraham, you know what he did? He entertained strangers without knowing they were angels. Listen. Seed time and harvest. The way it's preached a lot of times, I'm not one who agrees. I'll tell you my reason why. We make the mistake of thinking that if I want a whole new wardrobe, I remove my shoe and give us an offering. Pastor, take. Then God will give me a whole new wardrobe. You have not given to him, you are giving to yourself. You are selfish. God says, I, the Lord, I check what is inside your heart first. That is the real seed for our prosperity. Actually, we don't know it. So Solomon said, sow your seed in the morning, and at night don't withhold your hand. You don't know which one will prosper. The day Abraham finally released the seed that brought the final promise for the birth of Isaac, it was the day he entertained strangers without knowing they were angels. Do you know, I was in my house this evening, so I was lying down on the bed after I came back from work. I said, people think that faith means that my heart never shakes. I said, no, that's not what faith means. Faith means that whether my heart is shaking or not, I do what is right. I don't know what I get my mind. Even if I'm afraid to kill Isaac, God said kill Isaac. We think that faith means that Isaac will not die. I have no doubt in my heart that Isaac is not going to die. Look, if you like, doubt it. Just kill him. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. No, really, really. Faith means that even if it appears like I didn't fear, whatever it takes, just obey God. You understand what I'm saying? That we'll just obey God. I'm happy you brought that story up. Because when I was in school, people were trying to say that those men did not say, even if God won't deliver us, that they were sure God would deliver them. I said, Ogasa, I don't agree. I don't agree. They said that our God is able. It is not every time he does it, we know he is able. But even though he refuses, we still will not bow. That was real faith. That was why some people died because of faith. There were those who said it and they died. And God said it was still faith. That's the thing. I hope you are getting the point I'm making.
Yes.
Listen, I'm talking about the switch. Abraham, God gave him a promise. Years were passing. You know what was happening every year? Every year, God would give him an opportunity to sow a rice seed. The mistake we make is that, Pastor, you know my car don't old. To get a new one, let me give this old car and give to a suffering pastor. To continue the bad problems I was running away from. And then God will give me a new one. If we are God, you go agree? If you were God, you go agree? Do you follow my point? People don't understand that the seed for the new car, it may be, you won't know, it may be one thing you did 14 years ago when you did not even have a bicycle. When you saw an old man at night trying to cross the road and you were in a hurry for a serious appointment which will give you your first job. You look the old man, you look the appointment. They say, the job can wait. Good evening, sir. Can I help you cross the road? You held the man by the hand, you stopped the vehicle, you wasted 5 minutes, and as you were going, he said, my son, it will be well with you. 14 years later, that seed begets a brand new car for you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is good works that is done continually is the real seed for turning the power of God. It is not the one that is done selfishly, not by selfishly. Pastor, I'm not. Don't tell when I go chop for Mr. Big's last door. Don't tell. I don't have money. So I buy groundnuts and give to somebody. Say, take this groundnut, it's a seed. It's a seed for my meat pie. It's not a seed given to God. It was given to yourself. I like to use the widow of Zarephath. She has become my project, my pet project, because she has been misrepresented. Elijah came to her door and suddenly there was open heaven. You understand my point? Suddenly the breakthrough happened. The power of God was released. I said, how did she know the guy was not lying? A stranger, as you are going, a stranger just stops you. Good evening, sir. Give me your necklace, your wedding ring, and the money in your pocket. Because thus says the Lord, next year you'll be a multimillionaire. You will look at God punish you. You go to work and you go, thief, 419. They're all over the street. I mean, why didn't that woman think like that? I always say, it was a seed for her breakthrough that she gave. But she's not giving that some selfishness. She gave it because this prophet, whether he's lying or not, at least he's hungry. You follow what I'm saying? Whether he's lying or not, at least he's what? He's hungry.
Let us give him food. And the interesting part is that he didn't start that day. She didn't start that day. She was doing it before Elijah came. Oh, ask yourself a question. Why did God send Elijah? You know, Elijah was not roaming about. Elijah was coming to her house. So ask yourself a question. Why did Elijah leave where he was to come to her house? Were it not that she had already done some good works in the past, in the time of plenty, when there was no famine? People had crossed by her door. They had gotten food. So in the time of her adversity, when she cried out to God, her seed, now listen, let's stop sowing selfish seed. You know, I keep on saying this thing. I'm talking about what? The switch. Paul said, these good works, they are good and they are profitable to men. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. A lot of people, you know what they like to do? They like to pray. They like to pray. You understand what I mean by prayer? Go to adoration ground every Wednesday. Everybody's there. And the only one I don't understand is the problem with their enemies. All my enemies. Oh, let me tell you the truth. You don't have any enemy. Look, in fact, what I mean is that you are so insignificant, I don't know why everybody should be against you. There's a story I heard once. True story. My friend ran a clinic in a village. And one day, he admitted a patient. And the patient was telling one of the nurses. He said, he thinks people want to kill him. So the nurse looked at him and said, oh boy, do you have land? He said, no. Do you have money? No. Do you have a house of your own? No. You have a car? He said, no. Okay. All right, wait. Anybody that kills you now, what will he gain? He said, you're this jobless man. You don't know that killing people is expensive. He said, do you have a wife? No. Okay, why would somebody kill you that want to take what from you now? A lot of people are queuing up against their enemies. It's like when a man is just frustrated, he doesn't know who else to blame. So he looks for somebody that doesn't exist. They start fighting the enemy, fighting the enemy, fighting the enemy. But tell the man, okay, when next you go to your shop, do good to all men. That becomes a problem. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say. We think the power of God is released by plenty shouting. Jesus even said it. Stop shouting plenty like the people who don't know God. The volume of your shout is a reflection of the ignorance of God in your life. That was what Jesus said. I'm not the one that said it. When he prayed aloud at the tomb of Lazarus, he said, it is so that these people might believe. Normally, I whisper my prayer. Nobody hears about it. They just know I have vanished to go and pray. Are you getting what I'm saying? The only one he shouted aloud, it was because he said, so that they will know. Let them hear me talking to you, that they will know indeed I am the Son of God. What am I going to say? It's not the plenty shouting that switches on God's power, but a continuous lifestyle of good works. Listen, which is done not out of selfish motives. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain here. Because I was thinking, okay, this power of God, what do I say about it? Then the thought came to my mind, and as I came in, I said, yes, I know the name I'll call it. The switch. How to turn the switch. Solomon gave us a word. I shared this on radio yesterday. He says, sow your seed in the morning, and at night, don't withhold your hand. That is, do what? Good works continually. I was talking about Abraham. This is what I have come to understand. In Abraham's case, God was showing him. Now, good works is not always, let me give something. There are times when I refuse to accept something and it's a good work. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. Like Abraham. He refused to accept the goods of the king of Sodom. And for God, that was crucial. Because the man believed. Now, I told you that prophecies guide your life. He said, God has said to me, I will make you rich. He said, so that you will not say, I made Abraham rich. Take. Are you getting my point? Are you getting the point I'm making? that there are times a man refuses what should have been rightfully his own, and God says that's a good work. Everybody say, okay, call this man, call everybody, hey, rush, go and see him. He said, no, I have told God that if he doesn't bless me, let me not be blessed. God says, that's a good work. I'm bringing out something. God added one to the other. Now, remember what I said at the beginning? Is it that he didn't promise to bless Abraham? He did. We said it was what? Settled where? Settled where? Settled where? In heaven. Then God took him through a process of bringing that which was settled in heaven down to the earth. It took years. I always say this, don't waste time. Use every opportunity to do good, to obey God, to walk in a manner pleasing to God. A brother asked me that day, he said, you said blessings are very important. I said, yes. He said, how do I set myself up for blessing? I said, life will always put you in a corner, asking you to make a choice, either to go left or to go right. I said, every time you have to make a choice, ask yourself which one will please God. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Ask yourself what? Which one will please God? Not which one gets quick results. Oh God, I want Christians to understand this thing. Not which one gets quick results, but which one will please God? Are you getting what I'm saying? There's a book I'm working on. It's an interesting book. It's titled, I should finish it this weekend. As I was writing it some time ago, then I stopped writing it. Then yesterday, the Spirit came down upon me heavily, and I began to write it. And I believe I'll finish it this weekend. Yes, how to work for God. A lot of people don't know how to work for God. One of the ways, talking about good works, one of the ways to work for God is a major section in the book. It's in the area of prayer. Now, listen to me. There are two kinds of prayer. According to this classification, there's prayer you pray for yourself. Bless me, my family. Give us money. Give us, bless me. Bless my church. That's prayer you pray for yourself. All right? But there's a prayer you pray for other people. There is a prayer you pray for your nation. There is a prayer you pray for a man of God that does not even know you are praying for him. Not the one that you stop him on the road and say, sir, last night I didn't sleep. I was praying for you. You have your reward. He said, you are praying for me. Thank you very much. May God bless you. That's your reward. You know, we like sometimes to show off our good works. God said, learn to do it where? In secret. There's a kind of prayer that you pray for Umar Musa Yar'Adua. As the president of the country, he doesn't know you. You don't have to write him a letter that, sir, I'm praying for you. Not necessary. You watch him on TV and you pray for him, and it is ticked against your account. Good work. That's one that Jesus said has a reward. Every prayer can get an answer. But the one you pray not for yourself does not only get an answer, it gets what? A reward. If I pray for the president and God answers it, he will bless the man, right? But when God rewards that prayer, he blesses me. I hope you are getting what I mean by the switch. What? The switch for the power of God. The switch. Sometimes you just settle down and you pray for you. Maybe you just say, this, you know, some. No, I'm guilty. Amen. So I'm not talking about some crazy, all of us. Amen. We like to talk about matter. The way pastor talks, you know, I don't like it. Then we're talking amongst ourselves. I don't know what I get. Have you seen? This man of God, you carry newspaper. See. Then we talk. It doesn't cross our mind that if it concerns us enough to talk about it, it should concern us enough to pray about it. Do you know Barack Obama? Yeah. How many of you know Barack Obama? The next American president. Hello. I hope I'm not going to lose my reward by telling you this. God, please, let me not lose my reward. I'm just sharing with people. I pray for him. It's a personal issue. And I kneel down. Kabasha, Barack Obama, in the name of Jesus. Telling you. I have prayed some dangerous prayers for the man. Listen, this is between me and God. The day the man wins the election, I know the way the rest of his life will be. If he's not going to go in that direction, he won't win that election. There is a direction his life must go. Are you getting my point? And the sign for me is that he wins. If he does not win, then that's because he's not going to go. We have prayed. Look, I know my prayer has effect on that one. It gets as it be. But I hope you don't mind me telling people. I mean, it's just, I want to encourage you. Yes. Well, in my office today, the guy said, if this man wins, I said, if this man wins, it means next time you land at Dubai International Airport as a Nigerian, the Arab will respect you. I'm not joking about that. You go down to Australia, as you come down from the plane, suddenly there's a new air of respect that is upon your head just because American president is black. Yeah. I know that is important, therefore I pray for the man. Yeah. Let me not say more about the kind of prayers I pray for him. Yeah. I have told God, if you won't answer the prayer, may the man lose the election. If answering the prayer is not good, then don't let him win. But if you are going to allow him win, then please, Baba God, in the name of Jesus, these are the things you must do. Am I going to call him one day and say, sir, I was praying for you? It's besides the point. Listen, there are friends you have. Are you getting me? There are friends you have. You know the problems in their life. Sometimes they don't even tell you. You go home and you go and pray. I can't forget the day a friend of mine, a couple, they called me around 3 a.m. And their son was sick, that Pastor Banky prayed. So I just prayed on the phone. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just prayed, you know, the way you will pray as a man of God. Then when I hung the phone, I began to pray. I don't know whether you get the point. The one on the phone was so that they would hear. My wife looked, she knew something was wrong. Till tomorrow, I never told them I prayed. After that one on the phone, why should I tell them? None of their business. But when my wife saw me, of course the phone rang, I answered the phone around 3 a.m. I told myself, if these people call me up at 3 a.m., no matter how calm they sound, it's a serious problem. As soon as they hung up the phone, my wife was afraid. Like, what is going on here? Which kind of prayer is this? We have been married for years, you haven't seen me pray like this. Are you getting my point? Next, they say, when they want to take the body, the boy said, come on, I'm fine. The guy was, when I was in the testimony later, I said, in the corner, thank you. God, thank you. They don't, no, nobody, look, I'm telling you about the kind of prayer that has reward. The switch for the power of God is what I'm talking about. It's what? Continual good works. Continual. Is it, oh God, I hope Christian will get the point. You don't have the ability or the insight to decide that I want to sow this one seed and get that result. If you see anybody in the Bible that got such results, you know what happened? God came and demanded that seed. Like Elijah appeared and demanded that seed. But for you to just wake up and selfishly apportion your seed towards a fruit, it's not spiritually possible. What you do is you continually. Do you know what? There's something I don't do. If I say this, you make you laugh. If I see a queue of cars, you know, like if you drive that beside the area, because they are constructing one side, the other side is generally a queue of cars coming this way. One thing I don't do is to shunt everybody. I just join the queue. You'll be passing fear, fear, fear. I said, I lie. This is my own good works in orderliness. I said, the queue is moving. The only times I break the rule, even God will know that bank is crucial. Maybe I'm heading for Cosmo FM. Broadcast is supposed to start by 7:30. This is 7:28. The city that the whole of Eastern Nigeria will listen to is in my hand. And I say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, can I take this part? It's not because I feel I'm more important than anybody else. I just want to drop this. It's like a medical emergency. I'm not going to explain something. Continual lifestyle of what? Good works. I have discovered. What is God doing? You know, I tried to explain the wisdom of God and the calculations of God. He said, Abraham, I have determined that I will bless you. But blessings
must be earned.
Oh God, I wish you understand that.
You know, faith in Christ Jesus is a lot of work. I don't mean you get up and start saying, I have faith. I mean, for you having faith, God said, this guy is working hard. And that's why we don't understand that you cannot have the faith of God with the fear of men, like the Bible says. A lot of us want to have the faith of God with the fear of men. If you really want to have the faith of God, you will understand it's a lot of work. Because there are times men will say they can help you. You say it's not in accordance with my faith. God says that is work. Are you getting my point? There are times, because you see, there are things that are very personal. And then he personally communicates his spirit into your life. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Now, sometimes when God does that, listen, he gives you a conviction in your soul concerning something that you cannot even explain to anybody else. Let me give you an example. You have a job, it's not paying well. It takes you morning till evening, gives you a few hours for church and all of that at the end of the day. Then a door opens one day, say, step out from this job and go there, and you will earn 10 times what you're earning now. And because before you resign, suddenly the Spirit of God communicates something to you again. Occupy till I come. I have not yet come. He says, sir, this does not make sense. Anytime you want to resign, you will feel, because you know one thing about God, when he really wants to show up, you can't make a mistake. You can start deceiving yourself. Oh, say, Pastor, please counsel me. It's because you know what you don't want to do. You're suffering everybody. You don't want to do something, and you know what you are supposed to do. I've had people come to me for counsel before. I say, ah, you want to disobey God? You are looking for who will encourage you? You're on your own. Are you getting my point? So that kind of situation, sometimes it occurs. You will look and say, God, am I not due for breakthrough? The word comes again. Occupy till I come. Then finally, they say, ah, how far? Have you taken the new job? So last minute, I decided I wasn't going. What? What? Are you crazy? I don't know, but the Spirit of God just told me that I shouldn't bother yet. Listen, you have denied. Now, get what I'm saying. That is work. I hope you get the point. That is what? Work. That is spiritual labor. For you to stand in the face of your friends, your loved ones, and appear like a madman, that's work. A friend of mine once is a pastor now in Sokoto. Where is he? That's where he's a pastor. When people hear this, they are surprised. If he dips his hand in his pocket, you know what he'll bring out for you? A British passport with his photo on it. It's not a joke. I don't know whether you get the point. He finished obtaining, put it in his pocket, still pastoring in Sokoto, where he founded the church. Now listen to this. Many years ago, before now, when he was on campus, he had an elder sister or two. They called him and started arranging for him to travel, get his passport, and let him come over to UK. So everything was flowing. So when they told a brother, he said, ah, I'll soon be leaving you guys, so I'll be going over to the UK. I was after, he just told the guy everything. The brother said, oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. Just be sure it's the will of God. Listen to me. He said, as soon as the brother said it, he knew it was not. I don't know whether you hear what I said.
Yeah.
That as soon as that guy dropped those words, instantly, he knew it was not the will of God. Next time his sister called, told her, forget it. What is wrong with you? Don't worry about it. He was a student. He said, leave it. The story I'm telling you is more than, that was around 1990, maybe 1993. Not the story of yesterday. Just a resistor, forget it. He left school, woke up one day after working for some time, got up, said he was going to go and start a church in Sokoto. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. He was persuaded concerning what he was doing. Like my friend would say, when people say they are called, that guy is called. Any man can be called to start a church in Lagos. There's plenty of money in Lagos. Anybody can be called to start a church in Port Harcourt. They give offering in petrodollars. You can go to America. But when a man gets up and says he's called to go to Sokoto, despite the fact that he has a British passport, believe him.
That's a call.
So that is a call. Because nothing else moves a man to that kind of place except the call of God.
God, God to Rwanda.
Are you getting what I'm saying? I use that one to explain personal conviction. There are times God pours His Spirit inside you, convinces you of something personally. Listen, when you hold on to that in the face of foolish appearance, it's work. It's a good work. It is being marked against you. That's in your favor. Listen, let me summarize my message with this. What have I tried to explain? God had power waiting for Abraham. But He said, Abraham, you must build your switch. Are you following what I'm saying? You must build bit by bit. What God does for you is to lead you in the direction of the right things to do. And what He does, that He gives you the opportunity to do good. Are you getting my point? He gives you what? The opportunity to do good. Every day, you do good. And Paul said, learn to do these good works because it is good and it is profitable to men. And I'm explaining to you tonight that what it does is that God uses that as a switch with which you contact the realm of the Spirit and release the power of God into your life. The sun is out there pouring out energy every day, but men have not yet learned how to tap it effectively. So we keep on complaining of global warming, this one. And we blame ourselves all the time. We are burning fossil fuel. We are doing this one. Nuclear power is dangerous. All of that. Because they look at plenty power. They yet do not have the strength, the wisdom to tap it. Therefore, it appears like God cannot save. God says, my power is out there, but the people are not working with me patiently, doing their good works. You know what David said? He said, dwell in the land and cultivate what? Faithfulness. Then in due season, you will discover one day, the Bible said, when the clouds are full. Did you hear what I said? When the clouds are what? Full. That is, the clouds are filling up. Your cloud is currently filling up. That is why when God wants to bless a man, it appears like it happened overnight. When the Lord turned against the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. That is, it's as if God opened our mouth and poured laughter into it for the enormity of the breakthrough that He will bring upon you suddenly. But in actual fact, it was not overnight success. It was just that this is the time that the cloud began to pour, having been filled up over the previous years. There is a point of tipping. There is a point in which the cloud suddenly bursts. You can blow the balloon and blow the balloon and blow the balloon. When it bursts, it will be what? Sudden. Are you getting my point? That is when suddenly you will discover the release of God's power into your life. What have I preached today? I said, continual doing of good works is a switch that releases the power of God. Let us pray. Let's just give God thanks. Say, Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the thing that you have taught me. Say, Lord, I thank you because your Spirit is leading me in the direction of my own good works. Say, Father, let my heart not be discouraged. The Bible said, do not be weary of doing good, because in due season, you will reap your reward if you faint not. Do you hear that? In due season, you will reap your reward if you faint not. Father, I will give you thanks. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is good.